all the way from Florida, man. So show us some love. It's Tammy.
I'm an act. My name is Tammy. I guess I need to read the speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery. By identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction, it is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Once again, my name is Tammy, and I am an addict.
Amen.
I would like to thank the committee of Caprigna for allowing me to be here today and to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. I'd also like to thank the God of my understanding and the God of your understanding, because without him, I wouldn't be here at all. And I'd like to say that I am very proud to be a member of a program that has the power to save and change lives. And if you do not believe that, then when you take a step out of this room, you need to step into the restroom, take a look in the mirror, because if you are here, you are proving it works. You know, I'd like to be able to stand here and tell you that I've only picked up one white key tag when I walked in this program, but I did not. So when I was given this topic, the first thing that came to my mind is, why was I chosen to do this topic? Generally, anybody I've ever heard speak on relapse is not a requirement is somebody who came up in the rooms and only picked up one white key tag. That is not my experience. My experience is to tell you that although relapse is a reality, it's not a requirement, and it's not something that you have to do. See, I've made the mistakes, and I can sit here and share that with you and tell you, you don't have to make my mistakes. Okay? I'm going to try not to stand this too close to this mic, okay? You probably will not all, any of you will have a problem hearing me. I've been told I speak very loud. And that's okay today. And I also don't mind telling you that I am extremely nervous, and maybe nervous is not the word for it. I think I am terrified, but that's okay because God is working on me right now, and he's going to put, and this is what I've been told. When I feel this way, God's moving me out of the way so I can give you that clear message of Narcotics Anonymous and recovery.
That's right.
Okay? You know, my experience in this program is that I came up into this program. Let me start here. Let me go way back first. First time I ever walked into a 12-step program, I was 15 years old, back in 1981. And where I was living, I didn't know anything about Narcotics Anonymous. And I walked up in there, and I couldn't identify, and I felt I was different, and I was like, you know what? Y'all are just crazy. Okay, I can handle this. I can do this. I stuck around for about 3 months, and after about 3 months, I went out and decided to take up another 15 years of experience. I had to go through that pain. I had to go through everything that I went to get to where I am today, to be the person that is standing in front of you today, and that was the purpose God had for me, so I could be here, so I could share my experience, so that maybe I could just help one person who is sitting out there today. And that is our purpose in this program, to sit back and share our experience so we can help maybe just save the life of one other person. Okay, but when I came up in this program again, back in 1995, I wanted to be a star in an anonymous program. I came up in the program, I went to the meetings, I hit a meeting every day, maybe twice a day, got to know people, talked to people, read the books so I could share all good, but I didn't work a step. I didn't practice a spiritual principle. I managed to stay abstinent for 4 years. Coming up in this room, speaking all wonderful and good, talking about how I walk down the street each day. Because, you know, I didn't have a car, so sometimes I'd walk a mile or so to catch a bus and get to where I was going, or even walk all the way there. And I'd share that, hoping you'd look at me and say, oh, wow, she's real willing. Hell, I was. Okay? I just wanted you to like me. See, that was my thing. I wanted to be liked. But I didn't like myself, so how the hell could you like me? Because I didn't like myself, and I didn't let anybody know who I was. You were liking the picture that I portrayed. You were liking what I allowed you to like. And I still couldn't stand to look at my own self in a mirror. I couldn't stand there and tell myself I love me. I'd stand there and brush my hair, and I'd be looking at my hair. I didn't see my face. I didn't look at my eyes because I knew there was nothing but lies behind it. And sooner or later, those lies took me back out. I didn't have a higher power. My higher power was men. See, there's another addiction in my life. I had to have a man because, see, that's what validated me. And that's what I grew up with. My mother was never without a man in her life. Okay? And this was what I learned. This is what I was taught. I needed you to validate me. I couldn't do it for myself. So I would go from one relationship to another and try. And of course, I found the sickest of you, of course. Because, see, I had to be able to concentrate on you and try and save you so I didn't have to sit back and look at myself. And eventually, it took me back out. And I came back up into the program and once again did the same thing. You know that old insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results? Well, if nothing changes, nothing changes. Okay? And I never understood these things. So I came back up in the program. This time I got a sponsor, but I never called her. I didn't use her. I had a sponsor name. I could look at you and say, yeah, I had a sponsor. This is my sponsor. You know, me people, that's my sponsor over there speaking and stuff. But, you know, my sponsor didn't even know who I was. Nobody knew who I was. Even me. And I can tell you, that I remember my last day using when I finally hit that very bottom, when I finally got that gift of desperation. That is a day I don't forget because it's a day I don't want to go back to. It was the second time I relapsed. I had had about a year. I went back out because I, again, did the same things over and over and over again and didn't do a thing to work on myself. And I remember I hadn't slept for a few days. And I was sitting there doing my drug of choice, which does not matter. And the whole time that I was doing it, I was crying and crying and crying because I didn't want to be sitting there doing it. But I couldn't stop. I could not stop. And the only feeling I had was that I wanted to die. See, it was just before Christmas. A good friend had died 2 weeks before. This woman was like my sister. And she was the one who had originally found out I relapsed. She was a house mother at the halfway house that I was back living in. And she had to tell me to pack my stuff and leave. And she never saw me again after that day. And 4 months, 4.5 months later, she died, not knowing whether I was dead or alive. And when I got the word, it struck me to my very core. And it made me start thinking about things. And I knew about this program, and it tells you once you've been all, and you know, once you've been up in this program, you go back out and relapse, everything you've learned, it really kills a good high because it brings in guilt because you know. I had no excuse. I knew. I knew I didn't have to be out there doing what I was doing. And the yes that I had had in my life had started to become true. I was walking the streets, selling my body. Just to get the next hit. My life was totally unmanageable. And I sat down that day and wanted to die. Tried to cut my wrists. Wasn't a sharp enough blade in the house. You know, as addicts, you know, those things get pretty dull, you know, and we just keep trying to use them and use them and use them, so they weren't available for the purpose. Not a gun available, so I couldn't shoot myself. You know, hanging wasn't an option because the minute anything gets tight enough around my throat, I freak. You know, the softer, easier way was pills. But being the good addict I was, there wasn't a single one of those up in the house that could do the job either. So I sat there and I cried. And about 2 hours before I was due at work, and yes, I was a good functional addict. I made sure I went to work every day and held a job. But see, it was a job as a waitress. That way I had daily money. Then the minute I walked out the job, I was at the drug dealer's house, you know, getting my drugs, you know, and I could use them. That way it kept me off from walking the street for an hour or two, maybe, you know. So I cried, and I cried. And when the dope was gone, I looked up, and I was just like, help me. Just help me, because I don't want to do this anymore. And I went to work that day. And God sent me an angel because a friend from the program who every once in a while I found kept tabs on me and checked up on me and this, that, and the other walked into my job. And he looked at me and he saw the look in my face. He sat down, he ate, we talked a minute or two, and he left. He found out what time I got off work from somebody else, and when my shift was over and I walked out the door, there he was. And all he had to do was look at me and say, are you done? And I broke down. Because I really didn't want to do this anymore. I was tired. So 2 days before Christmas, I went back to my first meeting. The next day, I called my family, let them know I was still alive. My parents, my children, my sister, my brother, not one of them had seen nor heard of me in 5 months. And my mom picked up the phone. And my mom and I have never had a really good relationship, and it is still kind of strained because she doesn't understand. And I can't expect her to. And I accept that. But when she picked up the phone and heard my voice, she cried. And the day after Christmas, I was on a bus back home. 2 days later, I saw my children again for the first time in 6 months. 3 days later, I had to go to court. They were going to take my parental rights. And when I walked into the courtroom, they decided to give me another chance. If you don't know that miracles happen in this program, then you need to look at the simple things in your life. Because miracles don't always come in these big, miraculous packages. The fact that that friend showed up at my job that day was a miracle, because if he hadn't, I may not be standing here today. I may have found a way to kill myself, because I couldn't go on. And I didn't have the strength to walk back into this program on my own because of the shame, because of the guilt. But when God gave me these reprieves, I decided that this time I needed to do something about it, because it might be the last. And I knew that I couldn't sit still anymore when I came up in here. You know, when I came in here today and I saw the podium, you know, I looked at Liz and I told her, I said, thank God that's there, because, you know, I can't do this sitting down. I can't sit down here and speak to you. I need to move. Same for me in my recovery. I can't stand still, because if I'm standing still, I'm going backwards. So I need to stand up and I need to be ever moving forward. If I don't continue to move forward, I'm going to fall. My most favorite line in our literature comes from It Works, How and Why, and it's on page 10 in step 1. And it tells me that while abstinence is a beginning, our only hope for recovery is a profound emotional and spiritual change. And that is what I needed to do finally. I needed to come up in this program and I needed to work some steps and I needed to get some change in my life. Because once again, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And I never understood that until that moment. I never understood that. I couldn't just come up in here and stay clean. I couldn't just not use drugs. Because you see, drugs is only a symptom of my disease. It is not my disease in itself. My disease is me. It is my thinking. It is my character defects. It is my personality. My disease is me. And I need to make the changes necessary to continue to move forward. I needed to learn how to like myself. I spent a lot of time, even in this program, trying to change my outsides, hoping that would do it. I did things like colored contacts, changed the color of my eyes. I thought I was dull, you know, all this brown and the brown hair and everything, you know. And I tried to, you know, I tried to do things like get colored contacts and change the color of my eyes, okay? You know, I had to learn that I was good enough. I had to learn that what God gave me was just fine. I had to learn that I was something special. I had to learn how to love myself. All of you could sit here and love me, and love me, and love me. But until I believe it myself, I am not going to take charge of what needs to be done and take responsibility of my own recovery. I will continue to play the blame game. This is your fault. And I did that quite well. I did that quite well. It was everybody's fault but my own. You'll have to forgive me. I don't... I love the literature, but my mind doesn't retain things very well, so I have to read. I'm sitting here talking about, you know, that abstinence is not just enough. And it tells us here in recovery and relapse that many people think that recovery is a simple matter of not using drugs and that they consider relapse a sign of complete failure and long periods of abstinence a sign of complete success. Okay. We in the recovery program of Narcotics Anonymous have found that this perception is too simplistic. After a member has had some involvement in our fellowship, a relapse may be a jarring experience that brings about a more rigorous application of the program. And that was my journey. That was my journey. I found a lot in the literature because my journey was that I felt all I had to do was not use drugs. I didn't feel I had to work a step. I didn't feel I needed to get a higher power. I didn't even feel I really needed any of you. I used you. I used you to validate me, to say, all these people like me, so I must be good. I must be something else, you know. I speak in a meeting and people come up and, you know, oh, wow, I love what you had to share. But I didn't believe a word of it. What good is that when you don't believe your own words? You're just lying to yourself. I didn't have the ability to become honest with myself. And that was the first thing I needed to do. I needed to become honest. It tells us in our reading how it works and why, that there is one thing that will defeat us in our recovery, and that is an indifference towards spiritual principles. Three of these that are a must are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And with these, we are well on our way. I needed to be honest with myself. And I needed... The first thing I needed to be honest about was that I couldn't do this on my own. I needed you. I had to be honest about that. I needed you. And I also had to be honest with the fact that I was not a failure. That this was not what I was meant to be. That God had a much better purpose for my life. And I had to learn to sit back and shut my mouth for once and listen. To listen to what everybody was telling me. And then I had to find the willingness to change. And that gift of desperation finally gave me that willingness to change. I'm sorry.
We love you.
You know how you get, you know, you sit back here and you think about all the wonderful things you want to say when you come up and you're going to speak to people. Okay, the minute you get up in this room, it all goes out the mind. And I'm sitting here trying to remember the things that I wanted to sit here and say, and you know, I can't. So I'm going to tell you, I am still going through a lot of changes in my life. This is a lifelong process. There are still a lot of things that I am learning to look at in my life. There are still a lot of things that I have not changed yet that have caused some serious pain in my life recently. But the thing I do know today is that because I have worked these 12 steps, I didn't have to use.
That's right.
It was not an option for me today. Okay? They give you suggestions when they come up in this program. They tell you don't get into relationships. That's not in my basic text, because everything I get into with you in here, even if you just become a friend, that is a relationship. And the biggest relationship I need to get into is with my God and with myself. And although I was trying to work a relationship with the God of my understanding, I wasn't trying to work a relationship with myself, because you see, I still had another higher power, and that was a man. So I didn't dig too deep into myself. I guess I found one of the reasons why they say to stay out of those personal relationships like that is because you don't work on yourself. Because you get so stuck up in that relationship trying to make that other person happy, trying to make sure they love you, do whatever is necessary, be what they want you to be. And I got into that relationship pretty early. I had about 4 or 5 months clean. So, of course, I hadn't taken much time to work on myself, so I didn't have anything to bring into that relationship. And I got some hard pain. But I did work some steps. And I did start to grow. Although it was probably not as quick as I could have grown if I'd spent time concentrating on me. My life, a lot of my life, had been that relationship. What is he doing now? Where is he going? What is he up to? Never mind what was I doing. Because I'm sitting home, sitting up in my self-pity. By the way, that is one of our most destructive character defects. It'll drag us down quicker than anything. But I'm sitting around up in my self-pity because he's off having a good time with everybody else. And I didn't realize, you know what, I don't have to be sitting home here wondering where he's at and what's he doing. I'd be out there having a good time myself. Making my own friends, building my own life, and finding out who I am. But although I did grow some in this program, because I started finding that some of the things that I was doing, I didn't want. I was no longer willing to be in a relationship where it was all about him. You see, I matter too. And that's important in a relationship. There has to be that compromise. There has to be the willingness to care about each other, as well as the ability to be ourselves. So that relationship ended about a month ago. 5 years. That relationship ended about a month ago. And you know what? 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, that would have been a perfect excuse for me. Oh my God, my man left me. What do I do now? What do I do now? I stop and take a look at who I am and what I want. That's what I do now. I find out who I am, who Tammy is. You see what I did now? I started going back to what God gave me. See, I spent so much time changing myself, lightening my hair, changing the color of my eyes, changing the outsides. It was time for me to start doing some more work on the inside. I put my hair back to my natural color, because you know what? What God gave me is just fine. I don't wear colored contacts, you see. I'm a brown-eyed beauty. Because that's what God made me. And that's the things that I need to learn up in this program. I can't stand still. And yeah, relapse might be a reality, but for me today, it's not an option. So today, I've learned to do something different. And when that relationship ended, I didn't pick up a drug. I picked up the phone. And I called some grown woman in this program with some clean time who worked through themselves and worked through some relationships and learned about themselves. And I talked to them. And I learned that I don't need that man to validate me. That it's time for me to stand on my own two feet and validate myself. You know, this program has brought me a lot of joy today because I work this program today. Some days it's tough and the program has to work me, and that's a good thing. But I stay and I stick and I stay and I remember that I don't have to use today. And sometimes that's all that I can do at that moment is not use. Nobody ever promised me that anything was going to be easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. And one of the most profound things I've had said to me lately, when I sat there and talked about I don't like this, I don't like this. I don't like this about me. I don't like that about me. Well, the person looked at me and said, "You don't like it? Do something about it." Well, damn, ain't that simple? Just that simple. You don't like it, change it. And today that's what I do. If I don't like it, I change it. I pick up the phone, I call somebody, and I talk about it. I have to come in here and share my pain with you. I have to tell you who I am. I have to tell you what I'm going through. And I have to let you see the real me. When I do that, I find out who I am. And I can't do this alone. If I stand alone, I fall. If I stand with you, then I recover. So although relapse is a recovery, it's not a requirement, we do recover. Thank you.
Thanks, Tammy. Next speaker is Brian B. from New York. You wonder how I know that?
I heard somebody say that shit.
Oh, yeah? I need to read that to him?
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay. Speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from the outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. A basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking in an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it's like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. My name is Brian. I'm a grateful recovering addict.
Hi, Brian.
And first, I want to thank God for the grace and mercy that He continues to give me in my life. I want to thank Him for bringing me to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, where through this fellowship, I've been able to find meaning and purpose in my life. I have a purpose-driven life since coming here. And, you know, I believe that my purpose is that I'm here to reach the unreachable and touch the untouchable. Right, I believe that any time. First, before I get into that, I want to thank the Chesapeake Potomac region for inviting me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope. And you know, I feel that what's going on at this convention this year is a real, real strong testament to the power of God working in addict's life. See, I think the disease has a real problem this weekend. He's going to be confronted with about 5,000 addicts that are all armed with God, and there's so many messages being shared here today that I don't see how the disease could have a chance, right? I believe I'm here on divine assignment, right? And I'm here to put a hit out on the disease and fuck up someone's reservation to use, right? That'll probably be the only time I use foul language, because that just happens to fit making a statement like that, right? I want to thank Tammy for sharing experience, strength, and hope. It's not an easy task to come up here and share in front of a bunch of people. Actually, it's very difficult, especially that I've been here since yesterday. And the minute that I get asked to come and be of service to God, the enemy always wants to come in, right? It always wants to discount my recovery, right? It always wants me to think that, you know what? What do I got to say? Everybody's already said it. What could I add? Ah, to hell with it. I'm just going to share Jimmy's story, or I'm just going to share Richie's story so everybody knows what's going to happen later on tonight. And I'm just going to stay away from sharing my story. Right, because my story isn't good enough to help and reach the people that need to be rich. But you know what? That's true. Because if I come here to share my message, we're in trouble. I'm here to share the message that God wants me to give to you. Because if I'm sharing God's message, we're all going to be helped.
That's right.
Right? See, I prayed before I came in here and I asked to be removed out of the way of whatever it is was supposed to happen here tonight. You know? Because, you know, I may want to say some stuff that may be inappropriate, and I know that when God shares, it's always appropriate, you know. I'm clean since February 8th, 1995. I just recently celebrated 11 years. I say the amount of time that I'm clean because it's important for addicts to know how long we stay clean. See, I haven't fallen into that game where I need to, like, be bashful about it and say, well, I've been here a couple of 24 hours. My sponsor told me that means we're here 2 days, right? So I need to let you know that I'm here longer than 2 days. I'm here 11 years, working steps, being sponsored. I've been an active member of Narcotics Anonymous. And the life that I've been afforded by doing that has been beyond my wildest dreams. You see, I'm here to relay a message of hope. Right? No, I'm not about a war story. I'm about a recovery story. I'm about a recovery story through the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Narcotics Anonymous. The topic is relapse is not a requirement. And it also states in our literature that those that surrender to the Narcotics Anonymous program completely will not relapse. See, we're working in a perfect program that if you work these perfect steps, if there's one thing that'll stay perfect in your life, is your clean date. Yeah, we could clap. Why not? Let's get some life in this room. Right? Hey, listen, I believe that Narcotics Anonymous isn't about being dull and boring. It's about being excited and exuberant about the new life we found in NA. Right? If this was a dull and boring place, there'd be a lot of addicts using and a lot of addicts dying. Right? This is about being excited about a new way of life. About the life that's been given to me through God's grace and God's mercy. Right? I can trust him. I can be a testimony to what the disease gave me, and it's nothing but gloom and doom. Right? I want to talk about the hope that God's given me after the day that I was on Sunrise Highway in 1994 feeling completely hopeless. Did I say 44? Right? 1994. Listen, sometimes I get caught up in a moment and I think I'm older than I am. Right? October 1994, I was walking down Sunrise Highway. Right, and I had to get, and I was looking straight down. I was wearing a starter jacket, and I was wearing a baseball cap over my eyes. Right, and I was homeless. Nobody wanted anything to do with me. I was completely alone. I had never felt a loneliness like I felt that day. Like there was nothing to turn to. Like my friends didn't want anything to do with me. My family didn't want anything to do with me. The disease of addiction had took anything positive from me. Right? It told me I never had anything to smile about. I had lost the privilege to smile. Right? If you're smiling today and you're happy, it's a privilege and it's a gift given to you by God. Because the disease of addiction took that from me. Right? And the only way that I was able to get that back was becoming into Narcotics Anonymous. So in 1994, when I just felt so alone, and I was wearing that jacket, and I looked straight down at the ground because I had the inability to look up at anybody, right? Because I felt so ashamed and so embarrassed about what my life had come to. I was astonished. I sat there and I wondered, what the hell happened to me? You see, I wasn't brought up in a bad upbringing. No, I was brought up in a pretty decent family. You know, my parents did the best they could. I can't blame them for nothing. Listen, there's still people with a lot of clean time still blaming people for stuff. Listen, I ain't here to blame nobody for anything that I did. Right? The step work freed me up. That wasn't my father's fault that I used. It wasn't my mother's fault that I used. It wasn't all those women that never would go out with me that made me use. You know what? I use because I choose to use. So early on, I needed to like disarm myself with that blame thrower and go on and start taking responsibility for the things that I did and become responsible for my recovery. Right, and I remember being there, and I couldn't figure out why it was I ended up like this. And you know what? It was that time my sponsor shares about this a lot, and it was that silent scream. Right, it was on Sunrise Highway, and he explains it. I'm going to give him the props. He explains it right as the silent scream when you cry out for God for help, and nobody hears it but the God of your understanding. Right, and I remember being on that highway saying, you know what? This was not meant. This is not the plan for me. I wasn't meant to be walking the streets, picking up cigarette butts off the ground. And I wasn't meant to be smoking crack out of a 1-inch stem using a 5-inch flame and burning the shit out of my face on a regular basis. Right? I wasn't meant, listen, my life was dwindled to sitting in an 11-by-11 room where me and another guy used to stare at each other and we couldn't move, we were stuck. We were stuck right there staring at each other, and we were afraid to leave the room because if we left the room, somebody was going to do the hit that nobody had. Right? That's what my life was dwindled to. And I sat there wondering how it was a guy like me ended up in a place like that. Feeling the way that I felt, doing the things that I did. And it wasn't until I went to an institution, right? I went to an institution upstate New York where H&I, and I give H&I props, right, because they were the messengers that bring me, you know, the hope that I found in NA. You know, and I went to that institution, and I believe that this weekend God will assign an individual a messenger, right, that's going to share something to that person that'll transform their life for the rest of their lives. Right? Because this is what happens in Narcotics Anonymous. God has somebody assigned to you. That's why it's important for you to have an open mind. Listen to the quiet speaker. Listen to the loud speaker. Listen to whoever you want to listen to because you never know who the messenger is God's got in store for you. Listen, if I find out I close my mind out to certain people, I may miss the message. There have been many a times in my active addiction where God sent an angel, right, and I didn't pay attention to the message, and I was out there longer than I should have been. Listen, this is for those jokers that come in here and say, you know what, it must be God's will for me to relapse. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind thinking that a loving, caring God. Listen, if you come to NA and get in touch with a loving, caring God, and if you think for a second he's going to put you in a situation to use, you're out of your mind. Listen, God gives us freedom of choice. And you know what? I know in my life, He always put roadblocks, spiritual roadblocks in my life. But I always diverted around them. You know, that day on Sunrise Highway, He put a real big one in front of me. And I couldn't get around it. And thank God for that. Listen, I was sharing with somebody this morning, and I used this term, I deserve. Right? And I thought about that after. I said, look how the enemy comes in. That's disease language. Saying I deserve. Everything that has happened to me after February 8th, 1995, I don't deserve. It always come through His grace and mercy. I don't deserve anything but being dead after that day. You know what? And that's why I come here and I stay enthusiastic about this. Listen, I don't want nobody getting up and leaving this meeting tonight. Because I believe God is going to put a movement in here that's going to save and change people's lives. And I don't say that in arrogance. I say that in a true belief because I've been here 11 years and I've seen it happen time and time again. Listen, I've seen people come to NA meetings and leave a completely different person. People come to conventions, they hear the message that we carry, and their life is transformed. Right, we got a life-transforming message in NA. Listen, we got the power of healing in here. I ain't talking about we're going to get up in the meeting, we're going to start touching people, no. But you know what? We hug here. Right? Now listen, let me change that. We are going to touch people in here. We're going to hug you. You know, when we hug you, you're going to feel better. Listen, that's the spirit. And the spirit moves from one person to the other. That happens through a hug. So you know what? If somebody needs to feel better tonight, don't leave the meet and hug somebody. What do you think at every convention you go to, you have a hug committee? The hugs are probably the most important thing that we get here. Listen, you can hear all the people sharing. You know what? Chances are some of them are lying. Right? Listen, hey, listen, the truth of the matter is, I could be sharing all this stuff and be totally full of crap and you would never know. Right, because disease is a master at deception and deceiving. Right, I only got to account for how I'm living. Right, I don't got to prove nothing to nobody. It's just me. Listen, are you going to tell me over the years that the fellowship has been around, somebody hasn't come out here, shared a story, went out and used? Listen, I personally have yet to see it, but I can only assume that's probably happened. Right? My sponsor shares a lot of times. Sometimes the disease comes right up here to the podium with us. Amen. Listen, the disease isn't out in the parking lot doing push-ups waiting us for go out and smoke a cigarette. It purchased a registration for this convention. It's going to be in the dance. Hey, but you know what? I know one place it's not going to be. That's going to be the Saturday Night Speaker tonight. Oh, right? I can give props to my sponsor.
That's right. I love you,
man. I love you, too. You know, so getting back to the messenger, I got a little excited. I'm sorry. I apologize. But God gave me a messenger at that H9 meeting. And, you know, listen, the topic of this meeting is relapse is not a requirement. And I'm trying to feel out whether the people that are in this meeting are people that are having a hard time not using.
That's right.
Or there's people here that are on the fence and maybe they haven't stopped using. You know what? The message fits any individual that comes in these doors. It doesn't matter. You know, listen, the disease did not discriminate. Recovery obviously does not. You know? And I'm just here. Listen, if there's somebody here that's on the fence, right? If you're just on the fence, you don't know whether or not you're an addict or not. You don't know whether or not Narcotics Anonymous is for you. I'm here to share with you, if you identify with just one thing that was said, chances are you're an addict. Because first of all, addicts don't run around thinking whether or not they are addicts or not. Like if that thought comes to your mind, there's a problem. Right? I remember being out in the street telling myself, listen, my story is I was done long before I was done. Right? And I remember being out there and telling myself, man, I think I'm addicted to this stuff. No. Not me. Not me, because you know what? I usually get out of trouble. I'll stop whenever I want to stop. But it's just not going to be now. But whenever I want to, I can stop. And you know what? And that day never came. Right? I remember at the end of my addiction, right, the disease controlled my bowel movements. Right? I would call a guy not wanting to use. Listen, I was done long before I was done. I would call a guy not wanting to use. Dial in a phone. Please don't call back. Please don't call back. Please don't call back. And he'd call back. And I'd have to go. And the minute that I seen him, I'd have to take a shit. Right? That's how powerless I was. Listen, I've gotten free. Listen, freedom from active addiction is what we promise. One of the reasons why I continue to come to NA is I've never stopped appreciating the freedom that I've gotten in NA. Listen, I never had a say in anything that I did. Never. The disease always told me what I was going to do, when I was going to do it, and who I was going to do it with. The disease always told me when I was going to eat, when I wasn't going to eat, if I was going to go to work and not go to work, if I was going to pay the bills or not. I never had the freedom to choose that until I got clean. Until I experienced the miracle. Listen, there's people that are ignorant to understand that if you had the obsession to use lifted from you, the miracle has already happened. Stop looking for these outrageous things. She shared about miracles come in small packages. Right? Listen, the obsession to use is a big package. But you know what? We're all looking for the big cars, big money, big houses as miracles. That isn't miracles. Miracles go against nature. It goes against logic. An addict not using a day at a time is a miracle. Listen, it isn't illogical for me if I work hard to get a big house. It's not illogical for me if I make some good money to buy a nice car. What's illogical is for an addict who couldn't stop using, that the obsession was so great, that the, listen, we often want to talk about the power greater than ourselves in our life when we reflect to the good power. But how about the lower power? Listen, our literature points out that the disease is a violent, destructive power. And that power was working in my life long before a higher power was. And it wasn't until I started working some steps that I started to be in touch. I want to talk about God. Right. Don't go running out of the room. Listen, if the word God makes you feel uncomfortable, brace yourself and be prepared to be uncomfortable. Listen, if you want to know why relapse is not a requirement, because you know what? Those who have a trouble with God are usually those that have a trouble with this program.
That's right. Come on.
Listen, I've sponsored quite a few guys that, you know what, wanted to always go around the concept of God. They wanted to believe in other things. It was other reasons, some philosophy why they used. They were born with it. This, that. Listen, the bottom line is God is responsible for my recovery. I understand how violent and destructive that lower power was. And just as violent and destructive that power was, how great and mighty the higher power is. Narcotics Anonymous is strategically planned to help an addict achieve recovery. We write our steps strategically. Listen, we're newcomer friendly. We don't give anybody a reason to go out there and use. Well, I got a problem with God. Well, okay. Second step doesn't say nothing about God. We know that, but hint, hint, we know what we're talking about. But, you know, it doesn't have to be God for a newcomer at that point, because if it isn't, it'll still work for you. A power greater than yourself is fine. Listen, when I first got clean, all I wanted to get back was the trust of my family. That was a power greater than me. But something happened. I got the trust back. Then what?
That's right.
Then what? I needed to find something. Listen, because the disease, in our literature, in recovery relapse, it says the disease is progressive even though we're clean.
That's right.
So I couldn't come to an end with my higher power thinking that the recovery process was going to halt because the disease was continuing to progress. So I needed something that was continuous and more constant than the people in the room. Listen, I used the people in the rooms, but then you pissed me off. Bottom line is we develop relationships here with people, and some people didn't meet my expectations or fall short of where I thought they should be. And thank God I wasn't utilizing them as my power greater than myself or a higher power, because you know what? They were infallible. Listen, and don't get that twisted. That doesn't mean that I don't talk to addicts and we here are a power greater than me. Absolutely. But you know what? Out there, there was a lot of powers greater than me. The judge was a power greater than me. The police was a power greater than me. My parents were a power greater than me. But none of them were a higher power. There's a difference. It took some time to me to come to a concrete position where I have a strong belief and conviction of what my God is. You know, in the 11th step, and it works out why, it talks about we can't come to a place in our recovery where God is never changing. It can't be something concrete, stationary, in one place at one time. It's always changing. Listen, I found God working in my life in all different places. I can't think that I could just go to one place to find God. Because if I'm going to that one place to find God, I may be losing God in the other place that I'm at. That's why Narcotics Anonymous is so perfect for what we do. Because you know what? I believe God is responsible for all this. Who could explain the amount of addicts that get together in here? Right? Loving and sharing each other. Listen, this is an atmosphere in love. This is what helps us recover. It's the atmosphere of empathy, identification, and I feel important love for one another. It was love that continues to keep me here and motivate me to come. People loved me back to health. I never had the ability to love myself. I needed to find that someplace in my spirit if I wanted to have a successful recovery. I needed that in my life. Listen, nobody ever told me they loved me. Listen, my parents loved me, but they just were never good at explaining it or sharing that. My friends, we never loved each other in the street. We loved each other's girlfriends. That was about it. Now, listen, we never loved anybody based on spiritual ideals and values that we've learned here in NA. I got relationships with men and women in my life that we love each other based on the spiritual values, ideals, and stuff that we learned here in NA. What are you doing? 5 minutes already? I can't win. All right, 5 minutes. Hey, I got this new thing, man. God doesn't call me to be long-winded. He calls me to be effective. Right? I've heard people share a whole lot of nothing in an hour and a half, and I've heard people share a whole lot of something in 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So you know what? I know that, listen, I know how my God works, and I know somebody was moved in this room tonight. I don't say that out of arrogance. I say that out of confidence. Right? Because I know how the God of my understanding works through me. Listen, I'm not here to listen. I'm going to share this. I'm going to share this for the... And listen, and I'm all for the NA speakers that we hear time and time again. Listen, I'm best friends with Jimmy. You hear him all over the place. My sponsor. I'm all for that. But you know what? This isn't a place where we lift us up. We're here to lift up God. Right? You know, I had somebody come up to me and I said, hey, good morning. He didn't even say good morning to me. All he wanted me to know is that he was speaking at some topic. And it just sat wrong with me. I was like, what is that? What is that? Listen, I don't want to go hear you because I know I'm going to hear you. I want to hear the God within you. Listen, I go to the people that I know that I'm going to hear the God within them. I don't want to hear the person. Because a lot of times, like I said, that person is full of shit. And I know we don't judge, but you know what? I'm completely imperfect. You know what? One of my biggest character defects is I judge. I'm not saying that it's good. It's probably very bad that I do that. You know what? Listen, absolutely, God doesn't want me to judge people, but some things, you know, I have a hard time with, you know, and that was one of them. You know what, because I know left to our own devices, like it talks about in our traditions that it's internal forces that will destroy us, right? So if you think for a second that we're slick enough to keep this going without divine intervention, you're sadly mistaken, right? Because this convention, if we left this up to us, that money would be gone by tomorrow. Out of here. Somebody would be living in a mansion on your dollar. That's why I know that there's something a lot more powerful and loving working through the Narcotics Anonymous Fellowship. You know, that's why the fellowship has been able to grow and prosper. You know what? And that's why relapse is not a requirement. You don't have to use. God doesn't make you use. This is a program built for success. This is a success story here. This isn't a failure story. Listen, we may fall down and we may scrape our knees, but you know what? If you're involved with the fellowship, there's always somebody there to pick you up. Right? Let somebody pick you up. You know, listen, the longer I stay clean, the harder it is to allow somebody to pick me up. That's why I believe the longer I stay here, the harder it is. Because with clean time and with some step works, you know, your arrogance and your ego kicks in. And, you know, you don't think your sponsees can help you because you're the sponsor and they're the sponsees. Listen, on any given day, the guys that I sponsor are living a better program than me. Right? If there's one thing that I'm completely perfect at in this fellowship, is being imperfect. If there's one thing that I've been able to maintain and stay consistent with is my clean date. Right? That hasn't changed.
You got a minute.
I got a minute. Listen, I just want to end on this. If anything here I shared tonight helped anybody in this room, that was the God of my understanding working through me and helping you. And if anything that I shared hurt your feelings and insulted you in any way, that was me. My name is Brian. I'm grateful for coming out. Thanks for having me.